for it.
Yeah.
Oh, if it wasn't for that. Amen. I remember Brother Branham telling about when he was laying, when his baby was laying there dying, and how the devil jumped up there and began to talk to him. And Brother Branham said the devil, everything he was saying as far as intellect was correct. And he said, I was just about to say, well, if God's going to be that way, I won't serve him. And he said, but something way down on the inside spoke up about that time and said, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
That's right.
And so Brother Rem said, and said, oh, if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's we right. Thank God for it. Let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Amen. Family's happy to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
Good to be with you. Always is. Always to be nice to be around family. Those that believe in the same way you do and worship. And it's a place that you can kind of be comfortable in its own way. So Brother Daniel mentioned that we'd be going to Mexico the last weekend of this month. We'd be leaving on Friday the 29th, coming back on Monday the 1st. So very short weekend. We'll have, as it stands right now, we'll be having 5 services in a couple of different places there. So they plan on working us pretty hard. So I agree with Brother Daniel, but we desire that you pray for us and that the Lord would just have his way. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, got plenty to do here. And you wonder why the Lord would open a door and have a pull in that direction the way he does. But you have to also remember that the message that God brought to us was brought to us in our language. And we have a responsibility to take it to other places in the world. And so we certainly want to do our part. And as Brother M said, if you can't go, send someone. So this has kind of been in the work for quite a long time and just hasn't panned out until now. So we have a time now. So we certainly want to be in prayer about that. I gave a testimony last weekend, but some of you weren't here. So I wanted to mention it again. My wife had given a testimony here some time back from a friend in Tyler, Texas, David and Aditya Rudd. They had given a request for a young man. How old was the fellow? Maybe he was a young man. Had a tumor on his brain. And they were trying to treat it. And every time they were trying to treat it, it would go into seizures. And so it just looked like they couldn't do anything with him at all. And we put the prayer request in. And so they contacted us the other day somehow and gave the testimony that the doctors can't even find a trace of the tumor.
Amen.
In his brain. And so we give God the glory.
Amen. Yes, amen.
So I just wanted to be faithful to come back and tell you, you know, these people probably, they're not message believers, but, you know, God, he's just and he's good to the all across the board, too, yep. To the just and the unjust. So just wanted to share that with you. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles. I want to begin reading in the last chapter of Deuteronomy and then turn the page and start reading in the book of Joshua. Remember those that are traveling this weekend, the Lord give them safe travels back. Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we'll begin reading at verse 4. We go through 7. And the Lord said unto them, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go thither. How many knows who he's talking to? Talking to Moses. So Moses got to look at the land, but he didn't get to go over. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. I always thought that was an interesting scripture there. Moses was 120 years old, and yet he was still full of strength. His natural forces had not. And he represented the law. So if God could do that under the law, what could he do under grace?
Amen.
Amen. So now let's go to Joshua, first chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going out of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Amen. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, with a desire in our hearts, Lord, that you would come and speak to us this morning. Lord, that as we realize that as this time is just before us here, that we would be speaking on your word, Lord, this time will never come to us again, and we won't be able to bring it back. So we're asking, Lord, that this time would be used very seriously, very earnestly, Lord, that it may be seasoned with your presence and with the things that you have committed to us in this hour. We're asking, God, that you would just help us, and that when we leave here today, that we would go away with something down in our hearts, Lord, that you've placed here today. I pray, God, that you would speak to me also, even as a minister, that I may be able to give out to your people. Lord, they're your sheep, and we address you and recognize you as the great shepherd, and we're just asking, God, that you'd have your way this morning. Speak to our hearts and get glory to yourself. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. So, I want to talk to you this morning about complete redemption through the paradox. And I'm still saying, obey the voice of the angel. And I really want us to catch the fact that whenever we find out that this angel has said something, we need to go with it. So they tell me, so I'm gonna do this. They tell me that a good speaker will tell you when he first stands up what he's gonna tell you. He's gonna tell you about it, and then he's gonna cover the material, and at the end he's gonna point back and tell you what he told you. Anyway, we know, and I'm gonna apologize to you right now. I'm gonna be reading a lot of quotes this morning. All of them are out of the Message Paradox. Preached in 1965, just in case somebody wants to know when it was. Because I will say some things out of there that I think everybody needs to know, that even after the opening of the seals, this was Brother Branham's, what he was teaching us, what he was preaching to us. And so it's all the quotes will be coming out of that, but there's a bunch of them. But we understand that, I've said many times, that the message comes along and it gives us a vantage point that other people don't have. Because God has sent a prophet, and he points us in directions, and we hear things, and we regularly talk about things that denominations have no clue about. They just don't know it. They don't see it because, you know, and they can't, right? They can't know it because maybe it's not a good way to look at it or a good way to express it, but you know, you can't take someone and teach them 12th grade material when they rejected first grade material. And Brother Ram said, how can you teach them algebra when they won't even learn ABCs?
Right.
And you can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't teach them algebra if they didn't learn ABCs. And when they will reject just the basic things of the message that God has brought to us, how could they you know, understand and have the revelation of greater things. And so some of those things that you'll hear among the message that we'll be talking about this morning is Brother Branham comes along and he tells us that the book of Ephesians and the book of Joshua are parallel.
Right.
That actually the book of Joshua is the Old Testament book of Ephesians. And so you can look at it different ways and you can gain from both directions, but when you realize that Joshua was the one that actually placed the children of Israel in their inheritance, and that was his ministry. And so when you come over into the New Testament, you see that when Jesus had come and died and rose again, and the disciples went out in the book of Acts and everything, and then God raised up Paul to preach to the Gentiles, and Paul, you know, he was there at the first age, Ephesus, right? And he's there in the underneath his ministry, the church, the bride he was sent for, that she begins to really be placed in the Word, right? So you can see how Brother Branham was showing that the book of Ephesians is what places us. And if you go into the book of Ephesians, we did a midweek Bible study several years back here, and we went through the entire book of Ephesians on that. And so in there, that's when you find out where Paul lays it on real thick and heavy, how that by predestination, by the foreknowledge of God, he gave us this position in Christ Jesus before the world was. And so he would gather together at the end and bring everybody together, and this great revelation would be, you know, unfold to us. And so we see that. So Brother Branham makes this parallel that the book of Joshua would be like the book of Ephesians, but he also tells us that in the last days there has to be another Ephesians come, another Ephesus come. In other words, if there's another Ephesus come, there has to be another time that there's a Joshua ministry. There's another time that God would bring people out of something and put them into something else. Mm-hmm. And he would use Joshua to do that. So we're going to talk about that this morning. I'll be reading several quotes, and you pray for me that I can give this to you the way the Lord gave it to me. And I know Brother Daniel understands that. Yeah. So I remember back in Pentecost how, you know, you get a message and you feel like he's going to burn the place down. And then when you get in the pulpit, it don't come out that way, you know. But, you know, sometimes I think the Lord has a sense of humor. And sometimes it comes out greater in the pulpit than it does in the room. So we'll just leave all that up to the Lord. So in the message paradox, Brother Branham says, Joshua, we would have to consider it to be the book of redemption. Because redemption has two parts. Redemption anywhere has two parts. And that is out of and into. It takes two parts to make redemption. Out of and into. Moses represented the law which brought them out of Egypt. Whereas Joshua represents grace that took them into the promised land. It also represents something for our day. Now, it represents that as they were journeying from Egypt into the promised land, so have we come out of the world of Egypt, chaos, on our road to a promised land. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you, St. John chapter 14, coming out and going into. So Brother Branham likens this coming out and going into, and he says, here it is, like in this last day, same thing, you know. It represents the journey just like they had back then, coming out and going into. We have to come out of Egypt, a chaos, today, to go into, and he uses the phrase, in my Father's house are many mansions, right? And you know what he's referring to when he says that. He's referring to our rapture. To a body change. Because Jesus said, I go away and I'm going to come again. And when I come, I'm going to receive you. And so he's sitting here showing you that here at this end time, this exodus that we have at the end time is going to repeat like it was. It's going to be where we're going to come back to another Ephesus or a Joshua. And God is going to take us out of Egypt and put us into a body change. The end result is body change. And yeah, you remember whenever they come out of Egypt, they had to fight their way to get into the king, into the promised land. But after they had fought and destroyed the enemies, they possessed their promise.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it takes fighting. And so the promised land, you know, can type a rapture, but there's fighting you got to do to get there.
That's right.
Right? That's the what I wanted to point out there to that. And so coming out and going into, and so he says Moses, his job, his ministry was to bring us out, but Joshua was to take us in. Moses represented law, and Joshua represented grace. So he goes on, he says, it's law that brings us to recognize we're wrong, but it's grace that forgives us. The law has no hope of redemption because it has no grace in it. Because the law only points out that we're a sinner, but grace tells us how to get out of it. Law is the policeman that puts us in jail, but redemption is the one that comes and paid your fine. See, and he says, out of and into. And he said, I think this book of Joshua fits. It has a fitting word for it, and that would be the book of Ephesus of the Old Testament. He says, now we find Joshua represents grace or some propitiation that it could not exist at the same time that law would exist. Neither does any message that forwards the people on ever coincide with the past message. It won't do it, and that's where we have trouble today. Jesus said, does any person take a new piece of garment and put it in the old, or put new wine in old bottles? They perish. It bursts them. They can't stand it. And Joshua could not at all become into his ministry until Moses was gone. So you see the very first verse here, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and take the people to the promised land. And Moses represented the law that had served its time. So, now lay this out here. So Moses had a job, the law had a job, but there come a time when its time had been lived out, its purpose had been served, and as long as Moses was in strength, as long as Moses' ministry, and Moses was the prophet, right, as long as that was present, Joshua could not come to his ministry.
Right.
Joshua, and so, and until Joshua could come to his ministry, the children of Israel could not go into their promise.
Right.
See, because that was his ministry, and I want to show you there now, Joshua's ministry was to take everything that God had delivered through Moses, right? To take all that and use it to take the children of Israel only into the promise that Moses had told them and that God had said, right? So Moses could not actually get the people into the land, but he was very, very, very anointed to bring judgment upon Egypt to get them out of Egypt. He was able to do that. He was able to get them on to the journey, but he could not take them in because that responsibility was given to Joshua.
Right?
Right? Everybody follow me on that. And Brother Ram says, Moses represented the law. Law can never save you, can never place you, can only condemn you, can only accuse you, but grace is what saves you. And a little bit later, we'll see where he tells us that the name Joshua is the same as the name Jesus. It's Jehovah Savior.
Right.
So you see the parallel there, that the law of the Old Testament, the law of the do's and don'ts and all that, can never save you, but Jesus can. Right? Because he brought grace and truth. So I know this is probably real elementary at the moment. We'll pray that the Lord will get us a little bit further here in a little bit, and it'll begin to make something to you. So Moses represented the law and had served its time. And so, if you think about it, children of Israel were down in Egypt, and they were in bondage, and they couldn't set themselves free, right?
Right.
And God raised up a prophet, Moses, to go down there, and at the word of that prophet, God brought judgment upon Egypt. And so what you find out is the tools, the strengths and the tools that they had there to hold Israel in bondage, those tools were destroyed.
Right.
Egypt was brought down to nothing. Do you imagine the financial consequences to that nation of what all the things that happened? They were devastated. Mm-hmm. It just shows you how foolish some people could be. I think if I'd been Pharaoh long before all the other stuff happened, I'd have given up. See, and said, go ahead and go. But he was, it just goes to show you, his heart was hardened, as the scripture said. But Egypt had been absolutely destroyed at the word of a prophet. And at the word of a prophet, the children of Israel had been taken out of Egypt and put on their journey.
Yeah.
Right? And so you find out here today, the world has its hold on people. Denominations had its hold on people. But yet God has visited this generation with a prophet. And at the words of that prophet, the world is falling apart. At the words of that prophet, all politics is corrupt. Right? The United States has a financial problem. You know, we can go on and on. At the words of that prophet, Egypt is crumbling. Right? At the words of that prophet, we have been pulled from the clutches of those systems of denomination and all the things the world has that holds everybody else. It has been caused to let go of us. We are now, those things have no pull on us anymore. Have no pull. I'm not confused about Godhead, right? I'm not confused about serpent seed. See, we're not confused about those things. So those things have been destroyed. They have no hold on us. We are on our journey,
yeah.
Right? At the words of a prophet. So he's brought judgment upon, and it's both physical and spiritual, because darkness is through all those denominational systems. He's brought us out. Through the words of that prophet, God speaking through him has brought us out, and we're now on a journey, and we are to go into the promise. So you see how this is parallels happening over and over. And so it is after Moses that Joshua comes into his anointing. It's after Moses that the children of Israel actually can be taken in and given to their promise. Right? Not with Moses. Not while Moses is here.
Yeah.
After Moses is gone. Still living by what God, what Moses said through Moses. What God said through Moses. Still living by it. But Moses is gone. Right?
Yeah.
And we've seen in the scripture where he told Joshua, Joshua, make sure that you're living by what he said. Because then if you'll do that, if you'll keep these things, then you'll be successful.
Right.
And you'll prosper. Right? So you've got to stay with what was delivered. So the message that God used to crumble Egypt, the message that he's used to take you out of those things, keep with it.
Right.
But take that and put it in place, and it's you that's going to take this thing on over, not Moses.
Right. Amen.
Moses had to leave. Moses didn't come back and finish the job back then, did he?
No.
Joshua had to take him over.
Right.
This is another biblical example why Brother Branham cannot return.
Right.
Because if he does return and he has to preach to us, then it breaks the scripture, see? Right. So you see what's happening. God used him to bring this thing and set it in motion, but now we have to act out the full thing of what he delivered. Mm-hmm. And it's through a ministry called Joshua.
Right.
Okay? So we go on a little further. He says, they started out really, talking about the children of Israel, they started out really with grace to begin with. Before they had law, they had grace. And while they were in Egypt without law, no one down there, just the priest and so forth, but they didn't have a law. The law had not been given. Grace provided them a prophet. And also grace provided an atonement. The sacrificial lamb, the atonement had been provided before there was any law. Grace was there before the law, during the law, and after the law. So Joshua was representing grace that was right along with law, but could not be enforced as long as law was present, or as long as law was in its proper place. He says, so has the church world in these last days. It's come along, it's played the part, but there's come a time where it must cease. It must do it. There's got to be an Ephesians also in this journey, just as there was in their journey. There has to come an Ephesians and Ephesus and Ephesians journey. Everybody follow me? Church world in this last day has to come to a place where everything that we were under Moses, right, has to cease. And Moses was a prophet that brought a deliverance. Moses was the one who brought a message that started this Exodus. Amen. Brother Branham goes on to say, he says, now this journey that they had coming out of Egypt, this journey had three stages to it. Now we said a while ago, out of and into, but he kind of breaks it down from a different standpoint here. And he says that there was three stages to the journey. First was preparation. The preparation for the journey while they were still in Egypt. Preparation. And then when they passed through the Red Sea, it was separation. So they were preparing, but then after they come out, they had separation from Egypt and so forth. And then the next step was for them to actually come into the promised land. But Brother Ben says they failed. They failed back in Egypt. They failed out there when they actually had come across the Red Sea. And they failed there. They were failing miserably along the way. Why? They're still underneath Moses. Still underneath Moses in preparation in Egypt. Still underneath Moses when he brought them out through the Red Sea. Joshua hadn't come forth yet. Why? Because Moses was still here. The bride can't come to her fullness now until the prophet had to go. See? Well, we could never come. This ministry of Joshua in the bride at the end time, and you'll see one in a little bit, Brother Branham tells us, and I'll read it to you, that Joshua is a type of the end time ministry.
Right.
That this end time ministry couldn't do what we're called to do and actually get all of you placed over into your promise until Brother Branham left. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we'd still be chasing after him, and he'd have to carry the whole bunch.
Yeah.
And we'd never have the full revelation. Right. So you find out that the children of Israel, they had failure back in Egypt. Moses had to do all that, and they didn't believe in all the different things. And then they got out into the wilderness, same thing happened. So they failed there, but God was bringing them to a place where they couldn't disbelieve and go any further. He had packed them along through those first few stages. But when it gets right down to this last stage, God says, you're not going to go over until you believe me. You're not going to go over until Joshua is now taking his responsibility, and the anointing that was up on Moses is now up on Joshua, right? As I was with Moses, I'll be with you, because you're going to take it on. Brother Ram identifies this as basically one message, but it was two aspects to it. The Moses side, and the other side of there was the Joshua side. And so they went through the first two stages and got down to the last stage where they were going to, the stage that was actually going to take them into the promised land, and they made a fatal mistake. Brother Ram said that's where they made their fatal mistake, right there. He said, because at that point, they rejected grace. They chose law over grace. See, law had brought them out. Law had been took through justification, sanctification. Now we're coming down to the actual whole baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the presence of God. All that was fine, see? But now we come to the place where all that back there that was weak and couldn't take us on, wasn't literally indwelling of God. Now we've come to the place where you really got to believe God to get the Holy Ghost, because he knows whether you do or not.
Right.
Now you got to come to this place, and this is the thing that will actually take you on in, but you're not going to be packed in by somebody else.
Right.
You got to really believe it. And so he brought them to that place, and right when they were brought to this spot here, when they could have been partakers of this grace that was present. We just read the grace was there before the law, during the law, and after the law. And it was grace that actually visited them in Egypt and gave them a prophet, gave them all those things to bring them out. It was grace that gave them a law to tell them they were wrong, because he could have just let them keep right on going and be lost. So, but now it's come time where he wants them to truly understand the grace of God, which is unmerited favor. But in order to fully believe and accept all of what true grace is, you got to come into an experience with it and believe. And there's a certain weaning process there that has to happen, I guess is what we're getting at. So he goes on, he said, they wanted a law. And God always gives you the desire of your heart. He promised to. How many knows that? If you want something, He'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Be careful what you're wanting.
Right.
Because he'll give it to you. If you want the most beautiful girl for your wife, he'll give you one. Mm-hmm. But there's troubles.
Right.
See, he will. So he says, God will always give you the desire you already promised to. He said, but we find, but when they turn one step aside from God and what was originally promised, then that was a thorn in the flesh until the law was taken away, until Jesus came and was crucified to take away the law. And he said, and it was a thorn in the flesh, and anything that you try to do within yourself, it'll always work to your dishonor. It'll work to your disadvantage. Anything that you're trying to do in yourself. So God was bringing him to the place where he was going to give them that promise without merit. It was grace. Right? Unmerited favor. And this is where it's hard. This is where it's hard to believe that God will give us all this stuff and all these things that we know we don't worthy of having. And that he's just freely giving it to us. See? Because we were, but why would he? Because I used to do. Why would he do? I can't see what I mean. It's hard to grasp that. And there's that. There's this paradox we're talking about. We're coming to come to the place where Moses is gone and all that, and now we've got to come into grace and fully comprehend and walk forward as conquerors and victorious, even though we don't deserve it. Right? And believe that God is going to do exactly what he said, even when we don't see it. Mm-hmm. Because if we look out there, we see that we are grasshoppers mm-hmm. in their sight. See? But we've got to, and this is kind of goes with what Brother Daniel read. We've got to take it for what God said. Don't go by what you feel or what you don't feel. Mm-hmm. Whether you feel like you've got faith, and he did a good job expressing that. When you feel it, well, when that feeling goes away, now where's your faith?
Right.
See? So there's only one thing that won't pass away, and that's the Word of God. So when you set your faith in that, it don't change.
Right.
And there won't be an up, and there won't be a down. It'll be the same all the time, and there won't be any defeat. But when we put it on something other than that, then there's always. And so here's what he's talking about. Any time that we got to... Well, yeah, God said he'd give it to me, but me. Mm-hmm. Anytime, I'll read it again. Anything that you try to do within yourself, it'll always work to your dishonor. It'll always work to your disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Just simply believe God.
Right.
And that settles it. What God promised, I'm the Lord who heals all thy diseases. If there's any among you sick, let him call for elders' church. He promised that the works that he'd do would be done in his church. But when we want what we want. Mm-hmm. And so he said this was their fatal mistake. I mean, God had showed signs and wonders and delivered them. Egypt was devastated. They obviously knew God had favored them. They had been partakers of the sacrificial lamb and the atonement, and they had all those things, ate manna and all that. So all those things were there. They knew that they had the favor of God. But then when it got right down to this place where God was going to just give them this promised land, all you got to do is believe it and go forward, they couldn't do it. Because, he said, they chose law over grace. He said, because they had something they wanted to do. And he said, he gives the parallel, and we may read it here in a little bit. This is what denominations do, through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then Pentecost, they wanted to be like the rest of the churches. They denominated. And Israel coming out had God as their king, but they said, we want a king. Right. And it got them in trouble. Mm-hmm. See? They want to be like everybody else. We want our church like everybody else's churches. We want our system like everybody else's system. What you want is for your church and your life and your system to be God's system, not like everybody else. And so that was where they made the mistake, when the very thing that could have taken them in, they rejected it and chose something that they could have a little bit to say and a little bit to do in it. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to come along and say, now we've got a prophet, we've got a message and so forth, but I think, or this is what this theologian says or something like that. You don't. You want to go with exactly what, Moses said, and a good end time ministry will stay with what Moses said.
Amen.
So anytime you try to live to something you want, it always has a failure. Lord, forgive me for bringing this up, but how many remembers years ago there was a TV series called Fantasy Island? Anybody remember that? There's a few people. I know the young people don't. Sister Vicky, you don't remember that? You're blessed. Okay. All right, so Fantasy Island, it was a little TV series, and it come on, and there was it's exactly what it said, Fantasy Island. The whole episode every week was about some people that had a fantasy they wanted to live out. Maybe wanted to be rich, or this guy wanted to be married to a beautiful woman, or whatever it was, okay? And so they would, I guess they'd pay for this, I don't know, but they would fly, and they would come to this island, and at this island was some special place where people could live out their fantasy. That's why they call it Fantasy Island, okay? And you young people wouldn't remember this, but those who do remember the little midget guy, he's always saying, the plane, when the plane would fly in. Okay, so, but the one thing that series had that stayed through the whole thing that I remember was in all of those cases that people landed there and they got to live out, while they were living out their fantasy, there was all these issues that come up that they weren't expecting. And they found out that their fantasy was terrible. And I think in every case, I don't know, it's been a long time, okay? So don't hold it. But I think every one of them, when they left the island and went back home, they went back home happy with what they had before they came. Because their way, their idea, their fantasy got them in trouble. That's the one thing. Isn't that right, brother? See? And that's the thing. We might, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to have it this way. It will work to your disadvantage,
says
the prophet. We got to trust God for everything.
Amen.
Everything. And so, a minister does that, maybe more so than everybody else, because he gets in the hot seat more, right? But you know what? We should live that way every day, right? I know every one of us are faced with things. Every one of us has got something we can look at and say, that's a giant. I'm like a grasshopper to that. Mm-hmm. Brother Daniel with his mother, her situation. What can we do? What can doctors do? Well, don't you understand, when it gets to that kind of place, now you're getting over in the territory where God is featured best?
Right.
When it gets to where you don't think you can do anything, well, that's where it wants you. See? But we like, I don't want to go there. I want to keep it right over here where the doctors can make a decision. We'll try this and we'll do this and we'll do that. And I'm just going to tell them this and that'll settle the situation. No? How about just getting right over here and say, God, I'm over here where you got to take care of it. Not to be a cop-out, but just to get it to where he's the one that takes care of it.
Amen.
Give it to him. So Brother Branham says, if we notice here, then in their journey in the wilderness where they got to the greatest mistake Israel ever made until Calvary was in Exodus 19, when they accepted law instead of grace. They had grace. They had a prophet. They had a sacrificial lamb. They had redemption. They had been brought through the Red Sea. They had been healed of their diseases. They had water from a smitten rock. They had manna from heaven. Everything that they needed had been supplied, and still they wanted something else. Fed them from heaven with manna, and they grumbled and wanted meat. Wish we was back in Egypt where they had melons and garlics and leeks.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And we read that and we say, You people are out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you put the spotlight on ourselves,
Sometimes
we might find out we're doing the same thing. Doing the same thing.
Right.
He said, now that's a perfect type of our Ephesians today. Exactly. We come out under Luther, and we went through sanctification under the Methodists, and then came to the restoration under Pentecostal, exactly like it was in the wilderness journey. And when God brought us out, we did very well. But what did we do? We wanted to be like the rest of them. And we find out that grace is the only thing that takes us through, never law. So you can never make it through to this promise. There's several things I want to bring together here. Can never bring it through when it's you trying to do something of your own idea. When you're trying to add anything to the Word of God. When you're hanging on to Moses' coattail. Mm-hmm. When you're hanging on to Brother Branham. Mm-hmm. You'll never go in. You've got to make that transition to true grace. We're under the ministry of Joshua, which is another ministry to carry on what Moses had. Not another man, but an entire people. He was another man, but an entire people to go over into this promised land by living and executing what was delivered by Moses. But Moses had to leave before that could happen. We have to get away from legalism toward others and even to ourselves. Because I say your world's worst enemy. Well, I beat me up more than anybody else does. And maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. But I know how to take the legalism and beat myself over the head every day.
Right.
And by the time I get done with myself, I don't feel like doing nothing. Right? That's why you don't want to go down that road. God said, it's all behind you. It's all forgiven. It's under the blood. It doesn't even come before Him.
Yeah.
We step up there and say, oh, I'm going to pray for this person. I hope God hears my prayer. But, you know, I made a mistake last week. Uh-huh. Well, did you repent over it?
Right.
Right? Yeah. Well, if you did, then pray for the person. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about it. Pray for them by faith. Believing God's going to answer because it's been put under the blood. And so we want to go on here. Let's keep moving here so I can get done before too long. So they had all these things under Moses. Smitten rock, they drank water. You know, people come along and say, well, bless God, we've got healings, we do this, we do that. It'll make a bit of difference. They still failed. They had all that and still failed. Had all those things. They had a prophet. They had the quotes. They had the message search. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
But they never made the transition from those things. Still looking to Him to come. Still looking to all that. Still looking to the arm of the flesh. Something we can do and something the flesh can do. Not making that transition right on into where the person Himself comes in and lives out what that man was telling us. And as long as that's what happened, we'll never go in a rapture. We'll never go to my Father's house, many mansions, unless we make that transition to the Joshua ministry. Okay? And I know Brother Branham had a portion of that jump because he was our first fruits. And God had to express through him everything. God had to express through him Elijah. God had to express to Moses, Elijah, and Christ. All of those had to be expressed through him. And Joshua had to be expressed through him. Right? And then he goes off the scene and God moves that program just like we see here. And now there's an end time ministry that he was partakers of, part of, and now has moved to his people. And they're going to go on in with it under Joshua's ministry. So they had all those things, but just because they had them didn't mean anything. They had all that and they still missed it because they chose law instead of grace. They chose Moses instead of Joshua. Follow me? So So Brother Branham came. God sent him here to get us out of denominational mindset and get us over into something. Right?
Right.
Okay? So whether he's here or not, what is it we're supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
See? We are the object of what God sent him here in the first place. God sent him here to set us free from the clutches of Egypt.
Right.
And to send us into my Father's house.
Yep.
Right? So whether he's present or not present, this is what's supposed to be going on.
Right.
It's us. How has what that man said, how has it come down and got into my life and taken me further where it's supposed to? That's where we need to focus.
Yep.
Right? So we still preach what Moses preached. We still preach what the prophet preaches, right? But we have to make that transition into the grace of God. And I know he'll bring forth the capstone with shoutings crying, grace, grace, double grace. They had grace throughout the whole New Testament period, but here at the end, we get a double measure of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we needed it.
That's right.
Amen. We needed it. And so Brother Branham is teaching this whole thing he's talking about, and he titles it paradox. And of course, a paradox is something that's, it's like, well, how can it be? But it's true. So how could it be that God would tell the children of Israel they could go over without merit, and that no matter where they set their feet, Joshua and all the people with him, no matter where they set their feet, it's given to them. No matter what comes before them, it'll fall. No matter what enemy it is, how can that be? Well, there's only one way it could be, in the grace of God, that he would give that to you, because you don't have the merits for it, and neither do I. But he does. And so, he said, that's the paradox. You know, they had seen the mighty, and to me, this is a paradox for our day, a great paradox for our day, to see the mighty judgments of God that came down upon this generation. You look at all the things that happened. You look at people that come up against Brother Branham, what happened to them. Sometimes right in the meeting.
Yep.
When you look at those things, and you see the powerful judgment of God that's on his earth because of that prophet, because of what he expressed through him, and the things that happened, and you don't want to trifle with it. You know the power that's there. And so when you take that message and you look at the message from the letter of the message standpoint, we're all in trouble. Because under the law that Moses gave, nobody can be justified. And under the letter of the message, we all fall short. God meant it to be that way. But the only way we can go forward and live and become beneficiaries of everything the message said is to make that transition away from the prophet Moses into Joshua, into grace. To walk and say, I'll have a body change. Do I deserve it? No, I don't, but I'll have it. I'll have it because he said so. And not only am I just going to say that, but I'm going to walk toward it. Right? I'm going to walk toward it. And he told me that as I'm walking with him, I'm walking toward that promise, that anything that come up before me has to fall. Any obstacle, any enemy that comes up has to fall. Right?
That's right.
That's right. Any sickness.
Right?
Anything that comes before us has to fall at our feet and be obedient to this ministry of Joshua. Mm-hmm. So the people had to be true to Joshua as Joshua had to be true to Moses. Amen. So the paradox is we see all this judgment of God and realize that we all fall short, but yet we can go forward without personal merit and possess the promise and gain victory over every enemy and possess every inch of ground, including rapture. So now we get to where Brother Branham was saying here in this message. He says, now we'll go back for just a moment. So remember the three stages: preparation, then separation, and then that third stage was the stage where they were actually to go in. And in order for that to happen, Moses had to leave and Joshua had to come on the scene. So Brother Branham says in this, he says, now Joshua here is a type of the last day ministry. See, now remember those three stages of the journey. Brother Branham felt compelled to say that. It says this Joshua is a type of the last day ministry, and he says to the people, remember three stages. Look at the three stages they had. Look what happened back there with them. Look at the fact that those first two stages are under Moses, but then there was that third stage that was under Joshua. That's the only one that can take you in.
Yep.
Remember that. And Brother Ram said it. Now remember those three stages of the journey. All of it had to cease, first law and everything else, so that Joshua, and Joshua is the same word as Jesus, Jehovah's Savior, that took them from the wilderness into the promised land. You know, you realize that we in the message, we're in the wilderness. Egypt doesn't have a grip on us anymore, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Friday morning, and this topic of transition, and this is what it was about, going from Egypt into the promised land. And during that time, that transition time, that is a vulnerable time. It's very vulnerable. When the sun is setting and it's not completely down and it's halfway between daylight and halfway between dark, it's a very dangerous time, gloominess. It's dangerous. Anytime there's a transition at work, Brother Tim can tell you this, when they transition from one system to another, during that transition time, it's very, very dangerous, and you got to be careful.
Yeah.
See? And so to leave Egypt and come into the promised land, that transition right in between there is very tricky. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's where we are. Because this is where we've got to make it. We've got to get it right. And what gets it right is to totally get away from Moses, get away from the legalism of the prophet, into the grace that God has delivered to give you this whole message and promise and take you right on in, even though we don't have merit for it. All right? So, I think it's very striking that Joshua means the same name as Jehovah Savior Jesus, because in the Old Testament, it was showing there that until you leave the law and go into the ministry of Joshua, you can never come to the full promises. And if you don't get away from the law and accept Jesus Christ, you can never have those promises. Amen. So they've got this ministry of Joshua. And I think when we read it there a little while ago, and I don't know where it was at exactly. Yeah, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and take this people over. Moses, my servant, is dead. This is what God said to Joshua. Joshua, I know you've been there all alongside Moses. If you've been the grace that's there, and your ministers have taken him in, and you couldn't do a thing as long as he was here. But now he's gone. Now the prophet's left the scene. Now in time ministry, rise up and obey what he said and take these people on in. Right? Now do it. But he said, did you notice just before they entered into the promised land, all of these different things, all the differences that rose up among them? Wow. So we got an end time ministry now that's going to take what the prophet told us, going to take us on in. And yet, among all that, before we get into the promise, all these differences rise up among us.
Right.
Yeah. That's what he said. I'm telling you what he said. Go listen to it or read it yourself. And he goes back and he looks at it and he says, now, one of them great things was Korah. He didn't want this one man leadership. Mm-hmm. Dathan and how they come up against Moses and tried to tell him and that the message meant this and had put a different interpretation and their own ideas. And they was the one, and they, everyone, perished. And Jesus said, there wasn't one of them, but what perished? Our fathers eat manna in the wilderness for 40 years in St. John 6. And every one of them is dead. And dead means eternally separated. And they're all dead. Yet they enjoyed the hearing of the message. And they enjoyed the manna that fell. Not another manna, but the genuine manna. So Brother Ray was saying here is that in this transition, when Joshua was going, before Joshua got there, as Moses was taking them out, they had all these things rise up. Differences among them. And one thing was is that somebody rose up and said, we don't want this one-man ministry. Yeah. Now, God had chosen Moses. But Korah and Dathan are like, no, we're all holy. Somebody else can be part of this too. It's not just him, mm-hmm. right? But God had chosen him. And so somebody wants to come along and say, well, this guy, or this prophet, or that prophet. No, it was what God vindicated in William Branham. Yeah. That man, that was our Moses in this story. That was our Moses, and now Joshua in end-time ministry is going to go with what Moses delivered. And that's what's going to take us over.
Yeah.
That's what's going to take us over into the promised land. And so, but did you know that Dathan and Korah, did you know that Korah was kinfolk to Moses? It doesn't matter. They all ate manna. They all had partakers of the supernatural things. They all benefited from them things. But they got off the word. And they're dead. And I was thinking the other day, it's kind of interesting, I keep saying we have to look at things through God's eyes. And when God says something, we want to look at it the way he said. And so, you know, if and you read in the scriptures where, well, you know, she's dead. And he says, oh, she's not dead. And they laugh at him. They laughed at him. He said, she's not dead. And they laughed. Because they thought she was dead. Because she was to them. But to the one who is life. Mm-hmm. Was she dead? No. She was just asleep. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
That's right.
So when you look through Jesus' eyes, he's like, she's not dead. She's not eternally separated. She's just asleep. And I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
See? But here, and this is why Brother Branham capitalized on this to show this, there Jesus said, they're everyone dead. Jesus did not say that that bunch were asleep. He said they were dead. So you see where Brother Branham, because I had to come across this. Brother Branham, where are you getting this? Where are you getting this? Where are you finding in scriptures where it says they're eternally separated?
Mm-hmm.
I just told you.
Yep, that's right.
Because he is the resurrection. He is the life. And when somebody stands before him, or when somebody comes before, not standing, when he come, their case comes before him and he looks as they're dead, that means they're eternally separated. Because if they're savable, if they're not eternally separated, then he'd say they're just asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were everyone eternally separated. They're all dead, and yet they had enjoyed hearing the message. They enjoyed the manna that fell, not another manna, but the genuine manna. The genuine word that fell from heaven through that prophet's ministry. They were partakers of it. And yet miss the Joshua to take them on over. Why? Because they were in a transition. And during transition, that's a problem. To hang behind when God's ready to go or get ahead of him, that's the things that happen. So that was the first one. Korah came up and he did that. And he said, but then it come time when Balaam come along with his false doctrine and said, we're all one. Why don't we just go together and let the children marry one another? We're a great nation and we'll make a great nation with us. And you'll make a great nation with us. And now anybody with common spiritual understanding can see that exact same thing even today, marrying them all together. And Brother Bram said it was an unforgivable sin and never was forgiven Israel. But then Joshua rose up for the Exodus. That's what Brother Bram said. Okay? And so Balaam rises up and Balaam comes along and he, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase, okay? Can't trick them with Korah and make them think that there's other leadership besides just one message here that's coming. So we'll just try and get them to marry up with all these other belief systems and mingle them together. We'll try to get them to do that. And Israel fell for it. Now Israel was to be a pure seed line, a pure people with a pure message. And you know when you marry up with somebody else that believes a different God, now your worship in your household is going to be different. Right? If you marry up somebody who believes something different, your worship, your children will be brought up different. It's a problem. See? So they were to remain pure, both in physical seed line and not marry outside, but also not to go in and believe other gods and all that. And if they physically married other people, their hearts would be turned away like Solomon's was. So God has instructions. Tell them, stay away from all this nonsense. I don't care what they look like. Pretty Moabite women, stay away from them.
Right.
Because they will ruin your life.
Yeah.
And Brother Ram, and this is another case where I'm like, okay, Brother Ram, where are you getting this that God never forgave them? Because it's a concept. Because once you marry someone else that's outside of the seed line, and you have children, you can't reverse that. It can never be forgiven. That effect, it can never be justified. And Brother Ram talked about that, about a woman. She'd go out and do something wrong and have a child out of wedlock. And he said she can be forgiven, but she can never be justified in this life. Why? Because the proof is still there. Because justification means you never did in the first place. He justifies us, takes us to such a place in his grace that there's not even a record at all. Right? And so Brother Brown gives the example. If you heard I did such and such, and then you come back and said, you heard that I didn't, and you said, well, I forgive you. What do you forgive me for? I never did in the first place. And he said, if I did it, I could be forgiven, but I wouldn't be justified because I did do it. But justification puts you in a place where there, you never did it in the first place. Mm-hmm. See? So Israel could never become to that place. And he said they were not forgiven. God could not forgive. Why? Because that pure seed line, they had watered it down. Yeah. Mixed it and mingled it with something else. I hope our young people can really absorb this and realize, understand just how important it is that when you're looking for someone, a mate, you pray and ask God to send them. And I don't care where they are and who they are and what they look like, if they believe different than you, you better, it's not God. He didn't Amen. Answer your prayer.
Right.
Amen. See? So they had this Korah raised up, and they had Balaam raised up, and all these troubles, and it brought all these things. But then, Brother Bam said, but then Joshua rose up for the Exodus. Trying to mix with something else is what caused that problem. He said, that's the reason we don't get what we ask for. We try to take with us so much of our own ideas. That's the reason the Lutheran Church couldn't advance any further than it did. The Pentecostals and the rest, because they inject by a bunch of theologians. This ought to be that way, or this for another day, or, and he said, and this was for that, or something like that. He said, there it stays. See, whenever you try to inject a bunch of other stuff into the promises of God, into the Word of God, he said, it'll stop right there. It won't go any further. There it stays. Why? Because it did. You've injected death into it. But look what he says. It can't grow to the perfect image of Christ until every word is received into you, and then you become the word like the seed that went into the ground. So he's telling us here that as this message progressed, and as God did what he did with Luther and with Wesley and with Pentecost, and all that could have potentially went on, but every one of them stopped. Everybody wanted to mix man's ideas with. Everybody wanted to do something different than God's program, and that's where they stopped and they died. But what would have happened? What would have been the case that it would have allowed them to go on, and what would it have been? And I just read it. Because they stopped, it cannot grow into the perfect image of Christ. What's that telling you? That he's going to take the church and bring them into a perfect image of Christ. But they couldn't go into that image because they stopped and mixed God's word with something else. But if we do not mix anything else and we stay strictly with God's program, then we become that image, that perfect image of Christ. That it could not grow into the perfect image of Christ until every word is received in you, and then you become that word like the seed that went into the ground. Think about that. Now, there's his word saying it, that when you believe every word, you become that word.
That's right.
Amen. That's what God is looking for. When he comes back for his wife, he's looking for the word, mm-hmm. because she come from the same place he did.
That's
right. Right? Not some denominational thought, but she's absolutely the word, just like he was. That's who he's coming for. And so Brother Ram is going through all this, and he shows this, that Joshua, this whole thing unfolding like this, and he gets to the point where he's talking about Joshua, and Joshua is now, he's got that ministry to take what the prophet gave and to go ahead and go on over. All the people is going to go into a body change underneath Joshua. Right? He's all going to go. And he is the a type of end time ministry, and they're going forward carrying out what the prophet said do. And as they're going forward, as Joshua was going forward, he's out here carrying out his commission. And this situation rises where he got the enemy, and he's in the middle of a battle, and inspiration strikes him, and he calls for the sun to stand still. Right?
Yeah.
And Brother Branham described it like this. He said he knew that if the sun went down, that these enemies that he was fighting could regroup and gain more strength with themselves, and he would it would be harder of a battle for him the next day. He might potentially lose some men or something like that, is the way he described it. And so Joshua, so that he could become more victorious over this enemy that he was already fighting with, called for the sun to stand still. And Brother Rem said there was no scripture to say he could do that. There was nothing ever told before that said he could do that. And the scripture pointed out that there had not been a time where God had hearkened to a man like that. Like it did.
Right.
So that's there for a reason. And he's showing you a paradox. How could this be? How could this happen? I mean, we could understand Moses doing something like that because he's, but look at him. But here's just, Brother Brim said, Joshua was just an ordinary man. But look what he did.
Yeah.
Well, why did he do that? Because he was carrying out his commission. He was moving in the direction to get those children of Israel into their promised land. Of course, you know there's a lot more that could be said about it, about all the things that happened to him. But Joshua was just an ordinary man obeying his commission, called for the sun to stand still. And I was thinking, if the sun is going across the sky and it stopped, you know, say 6 hours before going down, and it just stops. It hangs there for about 4 or 5 hours. And it starts moving again. You still got 6 hours before the sun goes down. So did time stand still? Think about it. A ministry that could say, time shall be no more. The sun to stop and stop moving. You understand? We're living in the hour where these things are going on. And this is true. And so for time to come to a stop, or even to delay like it did with Joshua so that we could win the battle. And the point is that just common little old nobody us, as long as we're in the commission doing what God has told us,
yeah.
Call for your son to stand. Call for things to stop right on the scene. Call for your mother's sickness to stop.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? No matter what it is that comes before you, we're living under the tide. This day has brought us into this place where everything that comes up before us to hinder us in moving in our direction to our promise, it all has to fall before us.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to believe. And you'd say, well, I don't know. I mean, how can I? It don't make no difference. Don't be worried about whether you have faith or don't have faith. Don't worry about where you feel you don't feel it. You do this, you say, God said it.
Amen.
And now it's mine.
Right.
Right? And you go with it. And so, Brother Bram said all these paradoxes. He named a bunch of them. He said, but a real noble paradox is just simply that God said, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and then I'll keep my word. He'll do what he said. Just that's a simple thing. Why? Because for him to do what he said he would do in the midst of all this adversity, that's a paradox. How can it be? I don't know, but he does it, and we're going to go with it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So as we go forward, we say, how can we? Well, we can by faith, by grace. Without personal merits, we move into the place that God has given, because every promise, believe every promise, is given us. Every place where you step, even every enemy has to fall. God does it. When they went in and fought those enemies, you think it was their strength that did it? It wasn't their strength. It wasn't because you know how to pray a powerful prayer.
Right.
Because some of the prayers Brother Brown prayed was just so simple.
That's right.
I laughed. I listened to T.L. Osborne telling his little testimony about seeing Brother Branham. And he said, I was a noisy Pentecostal. He said, I was, you know, we had to shout the devils out of them. I'm just using my own word, but he said, I'm watching Brother Branham, and this blind girl comes up there, and he's like, man, I'm ready to do business. He said, we're getting ready. You know, he said, I'm expecting a bunch of noise.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham just prayed a little calm prayer.
Yeah.
And then her eyes was opened.
Right.
Right? See, it don't take, and I think you'll find it. Brother Branham said, you don't have to get down there to the altar. Oh, God, no, you have to believe.
That's right.
See? Just believe and move forward and go forward. And quit letting the devil mess with you. And as Brother Ram said in one place, enticing spirits.
Yeah.
And he said enticing clergy spirits.
That's right.
Enticing clergy spirits. Clergy spirits trying to get you to be involved in something, try to subvert you. My Aunt Mary knows what I'm talking about. I'm looking at her because of something she told me this morning. Somebody trying to get her to go to a Bible study to listen to a bunch of nonsense on Melchizedek. But we know who Melchizedek is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I guess the last thing I want to say to you now is go take your land.
Amen.
Because it belongs to you.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Equip yourself with the mindset that God gave it to me. I'm going to have it. And that's just all there is to it. Grace has provided it. Grace provided me a prophet. Grace has allowed me to sit all these years under the breaking of the bread and the healings and the things that we've been partakers of. He's provided it. And that same grace is going to take me on into the rest of everything that God has for me. Amen. I believe it. We want to exercise that in our life more and more each day. Let's let the musicians come. Paradox. Something that is true. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Amen. I think we could all say that about our own walk of salvation. Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, we're thanking you, Lord, for this time to be able to sit and feast on your word and talk about the things that you've committed to us. And we ask, God, that you'll just allow us to go forward. We want to stay with those things that were delivered through a prophetic ministry today that you have sent, the only one that's truly been vindicated as an end-time message. We believe that, Lord, and we want to go with it, believing that and putting to practice in our daily life everything that was committed to us in that message. We're asking, God, that you just help us and forgive us of our failures and our mistakes and allow us the grace just to continue on and press on possessing these things that you've given us. We love you, Lord, and ask for your blessings on each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll all stand and sing a song. I think Brother Tim's looking for one. You love him?
Amen.
Special meetings next week. Brother Darrell Ward will be there Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So I don't remember the times exactly, but
7 Friday, 6 Saturday, I think.
Okay, I think that's right. So I don't know. I'm sure that some of our folks will try to go up there Friday or Saturday night or something like that. But if you would like to go and need a way, and just let us know, let me know. We certainly want to reciprocating meetings with our brother. He comes to ours, and Brother Darrell's got an awesome testimony with his daughter. So, anyway, God bless you. We'll sing another song or this song again, and you could be dismissed.
Thank you.